14th chapter, prayers offered by Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna. Brahma said as follows within quotation, "My dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Supreme Lord, personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear Lord, I am offering my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. Your bodily feature is just like a fallen of the clouds full with water and glittering with silver lines of electric flashing. On account of your yellow garment so well. Immediately my respectful obeisances unto the son of Maharaj Nanda, who is standing before me with bonsai earring and with peacock feather on the head, beautiful face with helmet garlanded by the forest flowers, and standing with a parcel of food on the hand, decorated with a cane and a bugle of buffalo horn, flute, standing before me with small lotus feet. My dear Lord, people may say that I am the master of all Vedic knowledge, not only master of the Vedic knowledge, but also I am supposed to be creator of this universe. Still, it has been proved now that I cannot understand your personality, who is present before me just like a child. You are playing with your cowherd's boyfriends, calves and cows, which means that you have no sufficient education even. Still, you are appearing just like a village boy, carrying your foodstuff in your hand and searching after your calf. Although there is so much difference between your body and my body, I cannot estimate the potency of this body. This means that, as I have already stated in the Brahma Sangita, that your body is not material body. Brahma Sangita, it is stated that the body of the Lord is all spiritual. There is no difference between the Lord's body and itself. Each part and parcel or limb of the body can act for the other. The Lord can see with hands, the Lord can hear with eyes, the Lord can accept offerings by his leg, and the Lord can create by his mouth. Therefore, your appearance like this cowherd's boy child is for the benefit of the devotees. And although I am offender on your lotus feet by stealing away your cows and cowherds and boys and calves, still I can understand that you have mercy upon me. That is your transcendental quality of becoming very much affectionate towards your devotees. But in spite of your so much affection for me, I could not estimate the potency of your bodily activity. As such, it is to be understood that when myself, the Brahma, the Supreme Personality of this universe, cannot make any estimation of a childlike body of the Supreme Personality Godhead, then what to speak of others? For me also, when I could not estimate the spiritual potential value of this childlike body, what I can understand about your transcendental pastime. Therefore, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, that anyone who can understand a little bit about the transcendental pastimes, appearance and disappearance of the Lord, he becomes immediately eligible to enter into the kingdom of God after quitting this material body. This statement is also confirmed in the Vedas, when it is stated simply by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can overcome the chain of birth and death repeatedly. I therefore recommend herewith that people should not try to understand by his own speculative knowledge. The best process of understanding you is to submissively give up the speculative process, but try to hear about you either from yourself, as you have given statement in the Bhagavad Gita or many similar Vedic literature, or from a realized devotee who has the filter of your lotus feet. One has to hear from him without any speculative attempt. One does not even require to change his worldly position. One has simply to give oral reception to your message, and then, although you are not understandable by the material senses, still, gradually, simply by hearing about you, one can conquer over the nuisance of misunderstanding you and your lordship by your own grace only. You become a revealed self devotee, although you are unconquerable by any other means. Speculative knowledge without any trace of devotional service is simply useless waste of time, the attempt of searching you. Devotional service is so important that a little attempt in the execution of devotional service can raise one to the highest perfectional platform. One should not, therefore, give up this auspicious process of devotional service and simply take to speculative method. That speculative method may avoid somebody partial knowledge of your cosmic manifestation, but it is not possible to understand you, the origin of everything. Therefore, persons who are simply interested in speculative knowledge, their attempt is the lever of love. As much as a person who attempts to gain something by beating the husk of the paddy, little quantity of paddy, when attempted to be husked by the grinding mill, one can gain some grains of rice, but a huge quantity of skin of the paddy, if they are bitten by the grinding mill, there is no gain except simply a livering after it. There are many instances in the history of the human society that a person, after failing to achieve the transcendental platform, engage themselves in devotional service by his body, mind, and was thus attain the highest perfectional state of entering into your abode. In other words, speculative process of understanding you or attainment of mystic power to understand you are all useless without devotional service. One should therefore engage himself in your devotional service by his worldly activities and should always keep himself near you by the process of hearing and chanting about your transcendental glory. Simply by the attachment of hearing and chanting about your glories, one can attain the highest perfectional stage of entering in your kingdom. If a person therefore always keeps in touch with you simply by hearing and chanting about your glories and offers the result of his work for your satisfaction only, such person, without any speculative knowledge and mystic power, very easily and happily attains the highest perfection of entering in the supreme abode of your Lordship. You are, however, realizable by person who have cleansed their heart from all material contamination. This cleansing of the heart of a conditioned soul is made possible simply by chanting and hearing about the glories of the Lordship. Lord is all-pervading, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says that, by me, everything is sustained. Everything is sustained by me, but at the same time, I am not in everything. Therefore, the Lord being pervaded everywhere, there is nothing existing without the knowledge of the Supreme Lord. The all-pervasive nature of the Supreme Personality of God can never be within the limited knowledge of a living entity. Therefore, a person who has attained the steadiness of the mind, fixing the mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, is able to understand the Supreme Lord to some extent. It is the business of the mind to be scattered on many subject matter of sense gratification. Therefore, a person who engages the senses always in the service of the Lord can only control over the mind and thus fixed up on the lotus feet of the Lord. This fixing up of the mind unto the lotus feet of the Lord is called samadhi. So without this stage of samadhi or trance, nobody can understand what is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There may be some philosophers or scientists who can study over the cosmic nature from atom to atom. Maybe sometimes so much advanced that they can count the atomic composition of the cosmic atmosphere, or they can count all the planets and stars in the sky, or they can count even the shining molecular parts of the sun or other illuminating stars and luminaries in the sky, but still it will be not possible to count the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it is described in the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra, is the origin of all qualities. He is generally called Nirguna. Nirguna means without any estimation of the qualities. Guna means qualities. And Nir means without any estimation. But impersonalists, they interpret guna as having no quality, because they are unable to estimate the qualities of the Lord. In transcendental realization, they reject the attain as the Supreme Lord having no qualities. But actually, that is not the position. The real position is that he is the origin and source of all qualities. All qualities are emanating constantly from him. Therefore, a limited person, how they can count the qualities of the Lord? One may estimate the qualities of the Lord just now as it is, but the next moment the qualities are increased. So therefore it is not possible to make an estimation of the transcendental qualities of the Lord. He is therefore called nirguna, or his qualities cannot be estimated at any length. One should therefore not uselessly labor in mental speculation to estimate the qualities of the Lord. There is no need of adopting the speculative method or exercising the body for attainment of mystic yogic perfection. One should simply satisfy with the sense that bliss and happiness of these bodies are predestined. There is no need of trying to move away the distress of this bodily existence, or attempting to achieve happiness by different types of exercises. The best thing is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead with body, mind, and words, and always be engaged in his service. This transcendental labor is fruitful. Arahant attempts to understand the absolute truth are never to be successful. Therefore, an intelligent man, without trying to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth by such speculative or mystic power, may be engaged in devotion and service, depending on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever may happen on this body due to one's past fruitive activities. If one lives such simple life for devotion and service, then automatically he becomes the legal partner in the matter of inheriting the transcendental abode of the Lord. Actually, every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and Son of Godhead. They have got natural right to inherit and share the transcendental pleasure of the Lord. But due to the contact of matter, they have been practically disinherited from that position. And if somebody adopts the simple method of engaging oneself in devotional service, automatically he becomes eligible to be freed from this material contamination and elevated to the transcendental position of associating with the Supreme Lord. Lord Brahma presented himself before Lord Krishna as the most uncivilized living creature, because he wanted to examine the wonderfulness of his personal power, and thus he stole away the cowherd's boy and calf of the Lord in order to test how the Lord can recoup his cowherd's boy and calves after such a removal by Brahma. But Brahma admitted that such attempts was a most uncivilized way, because he wanted to test his energy in the person of origin. world. But in comparison to the power or energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is nothing. Scientists of the material world might have discovered wonderful things like the atomic weapons. Such powerful weapons may be tested in a city or in an insignificant place on this planet and may create so-called havoc. But if such atomic weapons are tested in the sun planet, what is its value? There is no value. Clearly, Brahma's mystic power of moving away the cocks and cowherd's bar from Sri Krishna may be a wonderful act. But when Sri Krishna manifested himself by exhibiting his expansive power in so many cocks and cows and maintained them without any chain, Brahma could understand that his test of his power on Krishna was as much as testing atomic energy or nuclear weapons in the sun globe. Lord Brahma therefore addressed Lord Krishna as Achyuta, because the Lord is never forgetful of a little service rendered by his devotee. He is so much kind and affectionate toward his devotee that a little service by the devotee is accepted by him as a great deal. Brahma has had certainly rendered so much service to the Lord. He is the supreme personality in charge of this particular university. He is a faithful servant of Krishna. There is no doubt about it. Therefore, he appeals to Krishna that understanding him as a subordinate servant is a little mistake, and impudency might be excused. He admitted that he was puffed up by his powerful position as Lord Brahma, and because he is a qualitative incarnation of the modes of passion within this material world, such puffed up mentality was natural for him. Therefore, he committed the mistake to test his powerful position. But after all, he being subordinate to Lord Krishna, he would kindly take compassion upon him and excuse him for his gross mistake. But Lord Brahma realized his actual position. He might be the supreme teacher of this universe, which production of the material nature covered by the complete material elements, false ego, the sky, the air, the fire, the water, the earth, and such universe may be a gigantic body, but after all, it is nothing but exactly like the personal body of 7 cubics. Everyone's bodily measurement is calculated to the 7 cubics of his hand. Clearly, this particular universe may appear as a very gigantic body, but it is nothing but of the measurement of 7 cubics in the power of Lord Brahma. But this universe is only one of the unlimited universes outside expression of this particular Lord Brahma. And such millions and trillions of universes are coming out just like atomic infinitesimal fragments are coming out through the hole of a window. Similarly, all these universes in their seedling form are coming out from the bodily pores of Mahavishnu. That Mahavishnu is part of the part plenary expansion of Krishna. Under the circumstances, even Lord Brahma is the supreme teacher within this universe. What is his importance in the presence of Lord Krishna? Lord Brahma, therefore, presented a comparison of his position as a little child within the womb of his mother. If the child within the womb of his mother plays with his hands and legs while playing, the legs touches the body of the mother, does it mean the mother takes any offense of the child? Certainly, you see, it does not. Similarly, one Brahma may be a very great personality, but not only Brahma, everything that be, they are all existing within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's energy is all pervading. There is no place within the creation where Lord's energy is not acting. For everything is existing within the energy of the Lord. So, Brahma, or this universe, or many other millions and trillions of universes, they are existing within the energy of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is considered to be the mother, and everything existing within the womb of the mother considered as the little baby within the womb of the mother. So, the mother never takes any offense of the child. Even he touches the body of the mother by playing his legs. Lord Brahma then submitted that he birth is from the lotus flower, which created from the abdomen of Narayan. After the dissolution of the three worlds, namely the three planetary system known as Bhulok, Bhuvarlok, and Sarlok. For the universe is divided into three divisions, namely Svarga, Marta, and Patal. All these three planetary systems within the universe become merged into the water at the time of dissolution. At that time, Narayan, plenary portion of Krishna, lies down on the water, and gradually a lotus stem grows from the abdomen of Narayan, and in that lotus flower, Brahma is born. Actually, it is concluded that the mother of Brahma is Narayan. The aggregate sum total of all living entities is technically called Nara. And because the Lord is the resting place of all the living entities after dissolution of the universe, he is called Nara. The word Nara means the aggregate total of all living entities, and Ayana, Ayana means the resting place. Therefore, a form of Garbhodak Sai Vishnu is called Narayana because he rests himself on the water as well as he is the resting place of all living creatures. Says that Narayana is also present in everyone's heart, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, that the Supreme Lord is present in everyone's heart. In that sense, he is Narayana. Mayana means the source of knowledge. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that remembrance of the living entity is due to the presence of the super soul within the heart of the living creature. After changing the body, the living creature forgets everything of his past life. But because Narayana, the super soul, is present within his heart, he is reminded by him to act according to his past desire. So Lord Brahma wanted to prove it that Krishna is the original Narayana. He is the source of Narayana. And such expansion is not exhibition of the external energy maya, but they are all expansion of spiritual energy. Activities of the external energy or maya is exhibited after the creation of this cosmic world. And therefore, the original spiritual energy of Narayana was acting before the creation. So the expansion of Narayana from Krishna to Karanodakshai Vishnu, and from Karanodakshai Vishnu to Garbhodakshai Vishnu, and from Garbhodakshai Vishnu to Kirodakshai Vishnu, and from Kirodakshai Vishnu to everyone's heart, in this way, expansion of Krishna, they are manifestation of the spiritual energy. They are not conducted by the material energy. Therefore, they are not temporary. Anything conducted by the material energy are temporary, but everything executed by the spiritual energy, they are eternal. Next parable. Lord Brahma then reconfirmed his statement of establishing Krishna as the original Narayana. He said that the gigantic universal body is still resting on the water known as Garbhoda. The gigantic body of the universe is another manifestation of your energy. On account of resting on the water, this universal form is also Narayana, and we are all within the womb of this Narayana form. As such, I see Narayana, your different Narayana forms, and everywhere. You cannot be without becoming the original Narayana. I can see you on the water, I can feel you within my heart, and also I see you in my personal view. So you are the original Narayana. Brahma continued to say, "My dear Lord, in this incarnation you have proved that you are the supreme controller of Maya, so that you remain within the cosmic manifestation. Still, you are out of this." Or, in other words, the whole creation is within yourself, but at the same time, you appear to be within the creation. This fact is already being proved by yourself when you exhibited the whole universal creation within your mouth before your mother Yashoda. By your inconceivable potency of yogamaya exhibition, you can make such things effective without any external help. Krishna, 16th, July 11, 1969. My dear Lord Krishna, the whole cosmic manifestation that we are visualizing present, they are all within your body still. I am seeing you outside, and you are also seeing me outside. So, although everything is within you still, how such thing can happen without being influenced by your inconceivable energy? Lord Brahma stressed herein that without accepting inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nothing can be explained as they are. He continued to say, my dear Lord, leaving aside all other things, just today's happening, what I have seen, are they not due to your inconceivable energy? First of all, I saw you alone. Thereafter, you expanded yourself as your cowherd's boy friends, the cubs, and all the extensional existence of Vrindavan. Then I saw you, all of them, as 400 bestow, and they were being worshipped by all elements or demigods, including myself. And again, all of them being wound up, you remain alone as you were before. Does it not mean that you are the Supreme Narayan, origin of everything? From you everything emanates, then everything enters into you, and you remain the same as before. Because persons who are unaware of your inconceivable energy cannot understand that you alone expand yourself as the creator Brahma and maintainer Vishnu and annihilator Shiva. Persons who are not in awareness of things as they are contemplate that Brahma or myself is the creator, Vishnu is the maintainer, and Lord Shiva is the annihilator. Actually, you are alone everything, creator and maintainer and annihilator. Similarly, you expand yourself in different incarnations, such as amongst the demigods. You incarnate as Bhavana Dev. Amongst the great sages, you incarnate as Parashuram. Amongst the human being, you appear as yourself, Lord Krishna or Lord Rama. Amongst the animals, you appear as the boar incarnation. Amongst the aquatics, you appear as the incarnation of fish. Although you have no appearance or disappearance, you are always eternal. Such appearance and disappearance are made possible by your inconceivable energy just to give protection to the faithful devotees and to annihilate the unfaithful demons. Oh, my Lord, the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Super Soul, the controller of all mystic powers, nobody can appreciate your transcendental pastimes exhibited within these three worlds. Nobody can estimate how you have expanded your Jogmaya and your incarnations, and how you act by your transcendental energy. My dear Lord, this whole creation of cosmic manifestation is just like a flashing dream. Its temporary existence simply disturbs the mind into full of anxiety. As a result of such anxious existence, to live within this material world means simply suffering, full of all misery. Still, this temporary existence of material world appears to be pleasing and dear on account of its being evolved from your body which is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. Next paragraph. My conclusion is therefore that you are the supreme soul, absolute truth, and the supreme original person. Although you have expanded yourself in so many Vishnu forms or in living entities and energies by your inconceivable transcendental potencies, you are the supreme one without a second. You are the supreme super soul. Although there are innumerable living entities, they are simply just like sparks of the original fire, your large conception of the super soul as impersonal is wrongly accepted, because I see that you are the original person. A person with a poor fund of knowledge may accept you that you are the son of Maharaj Nanda. Therefore, you are not the original person. You are born just like a human being. They are mistaken. You are the actual original person. That is my conclusion. And in spite of your being the son of Nanda, you are the original person. There is no doubt about it. As such, you are absolute truth. And because you are the original person, absolute truth, you are not anything of this material darkness. You are the source of the original Brahma Jyoti. Neither you should be accepted as the material luminaries, sun, moon, or star. Your transcendental effulgence is identical with Brahma Jyoti, as it is described in the Brahma Sankhita, that Brahma Jyoti is nothing but your personal bodily effulgence. Although there are many Vishnu incarnations and incarnations of your different qualities, all those incarnations are not on the same level. You are the original lamp. Other incarnations may be as good as possessing the same candle power like the original lamp. Still, the original lamp is the beginning of all light. And because you are not one of the creations of this material world, even after the annihilation of this material world, your existence as you are will continue. Because you are the original person, you are therefore described in the Gopal Tapani Birit Upanishad, as well as in the Brahma Sangita, as the Govinda Adipurusham. Govinda is the original person, the cause of all causes. Bhagavad Gita also, it is stated that you are the source of the Brahma effulgence. Somebody should conclude that your body is just like ordinary material body, but your body is akhara, indestructible. Material body is always full of threefold miseries, but your body is Satchidananda Vigra. Your body is full of bliss, knowledge, and eternal. You are also Niranjan, plus your pastime, just like the little son of Maharaj Yashoda or the lover of the gopis, such pastimes are never contaminated by the material quality. And because you exhibited yourself in so many cowherds, boys, calves, and cows, it does not mean that your transcendental potency was reduced. You are always complete, as it is described in the Vedic literature, that even complete is taken away from the complete, still the supreme absolute truth remains complete. And although many expansions are visible from the complete, still the complete is one without the second. All your pastimes being spiritual, there is no possibility of their being contaminated by material modes of nature. When you place yourself as subordinate to your father and mother, Yashoda, it does not mean that you are reduced in your potency, but that is an expression of your loving attitude for your devotee. There is no other competitor or second identity than yourself. Person with a poor fund of knowledge conclude that your pastimes and appearance like this are simply material designations. You are transcendental to both nisans and knowledge as it is conferred in the Gopal Tapani Vedic literature. You are the original Amrita, non-destructive. It is conferred in the Vedas. Amritam Shastratam Brahma. Brahma is eternal and the supreme origin of everything. Who has no birth or death? Next word. In the Upanishad, it is stated that the supreme Brahma is as effulgent as the sun and the origin of everything. And anyone who can understand that original person becomes liberated from the material conditional life. Therefore, anyone who can simply be attached to you by devotional service, he can know your actual position, your birth, appearance, and disappearance activities. And as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, simply by understanding your constitutional position, appearance and disappearance, one can immediately be elevated to the spiritual kingdom after quitting this present body. Therefore, to cross over the ocean of material needs and intelligent person takes shelter of your lotus feet and easily is transferred to the spiritual world. That's why there are so many so-called meditators who do not know that you are the supreme soul. And as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the supreme soul is present in everyone's heart. So you are present in everyone's heart. Therefore, there is no necessity of one's meditating something beyond yourself. In other words, one who is always absorbed in meditation of yours, this original form of Krishna, person easily cross over the ocean of material nisans. But persons who do not know that you are the supreme soul, they, in spite of their so-called meditation, they remain within this material world. However, if such person, by the association of your devotees, come to the knowledge that yourself, Lord Krishna, is the original super soul, then it is possible for them to cross over the ocean of material ignorance. As much as when a person becomes transcendental to the mistaken knowledge of accepting a rope as a snake, too long a person is under misconception of accepting a rope as a snake, as the fearfulness is there. But as soon as one understands that the rope is not a snake, at that time he is liberated from the fearfulness. For who understands you, therefore,
your personal teachings, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, or through your pure devotees, as they are stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam and all Vedic literature, because you are the ultimate goal of understanding all Vedas, then there is no more fearfulness of this material existence. Next paragraph. The so-called liberation and bondage has no meaning for a person who is already engaged in your devotional service. Exactly like a person who has not the rope, has not snake, has no question of being afraid of. Clearly, a devotee knows that this material world belongs to you, and he therefore engages everything in your transcendental loving service, and for them, for such pure devotees, there is no question of bondage. In other words, a person who is already situated in the sun planet, there is no question of appearance or disappearance of the sun in the name of day and night. She said also that you, Krishna, is just like the sun, and Maya is just like darkness. Therefore, as when the sun is present, there is no question of darkness. Similarly, those who are always engaged in a service, or those who are always in your presence, for them, there is no question of bondage or liberation. They are already liberated. On the other hand, persons who falsely think themselves as liberated without taking shelter of your lotus feet, they fall down because their intelligence is not pure. Excellent. If somebody, therefore, thinks that the super soul is something different from your personality, thus search out the super soul somewhere else, and sometimes not at home, but in the forest or in the caves of Himalaya, their condition is very lamentable. One should not therefore make attempt to search out the Supreme Brahman or Paramatma elsewhere. For teachings in the Bhagavad Gita, one should give up all other processes of self-realization and simply surrender unto you is complete. Because you are supreme in everything. Anyone who is searching after the Brahma effulgence, that is you. One who is searching after super soul realization, that is in you. You have stated in the Bhagavad Gita that you yourself, or by your partial representation as the super soul, entered within this material cosmic manifestation. You are present in everyone's heart. Therefore, there is no need of searching out the super soul anywhere else. If somebody does so, their condition is simply in ignorance. One who is transcendental to such position, however, understands that you are unlimited. You are both within and without. Your presence is everywhere. Therefore, instead of searching out the super soul anywhere else, a devotee only concentrates his mind upon you, because you are present within also. Actually, one who is liberated from the material concept of life can search out you, not others. A comparison of accepting the rope as a snake is applicable only to those who are still in ignorance about yourself. Actually, the existence of snake, besides the rock, is only within the mind. Similarly, the existence of Maya, only within the mind. Maya is nothing but ignorance of your personality. When one forgets your personality, that is the conditional state of Maya. Therefore, one who is fixed upon you, both internally and externally, he has no such illusion as mistaking a rope as a snake. One who has therefore attained a little, a bit, a result of devotional service can understand your glories. Even one who is after Brahma realization or Paramatma realization cannot understand such different features of your personality without being bestowed by a slightest part of a devotional result. One may be in a solitary place alone, or one may be the supreme spiritual master of many impersonalists, and one may go in the forest or within the cave of mountains and meditate for many, many years. Still, it is not possible to understand your glories without being covered by the result of devotional service, even in the slightest degree. In other words, Brahma realization or Paramatma realization is also not possible even after searching after them for many, many years without being touched by the wonderful effect of devotional service. Therefore, my Lord, I beg to pray that I may be so much fortunate that I can accept you as my Supreme Lord. This concept of life may be in this life or in another life, or anywhere I may take my birth. My only prayer unto you is that I may be counted as one of your devotees, and wherever I may be, I may always be engaged in your devotional service. I do not mind whatever form of life I may get in future, because I see even in the form of cows and calves or cowherd's boy, the devotees are so much fortunate that they are always engaged in your transcendental loving service and associates. Therefore, I wish that I may be one of them instead of becoming in such exalted position as I am now, which is full of ignorance only. Gopis of Vrindavan and the cows of Vrindavan are so fortunate that they have been able to supply their breast milk unto you. Persons who are engaged in the business of performing great sacrifices, offering so many valuable goods in the sacrifice, they still could not attain perfection of understanding you, but simply by devotion and service, these innocent village women, gopis, and the cows were all able to satisfy you by supplying their bodily milk. You have drunk their bodily milk so much satisfactorily that you are never so much satisfied by such persons were engaged in performing great sacrifice. I am simply therefore surprised with the fortunate position of these presidents of Vrindavan, like Maharaj Nanda, Mother Jasoda, another cowhouse man, and Gopi, because you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, you are existing here as their most intimate, lovable object. My dear Lord, nobody can actually appreciate the extent of fortunate position of this residence of Vrindavan. We are all demigods controlling deities of respective senses of the living entities, and we are proud of enjoying such privileges of controlling respective senses. But actually, there is no comparison of our position with these fortunate residents of Vrindavan, because they are actually releasing your presence and enjoying your association by dint of their activities of the senses. We may be proud of our being respective controller of the senses, but here the residents of Vrindavan, their position is so transcendental that they are not under our control. Actually, they are enjoying the existence of senses by your associated service. Practically, I shall therefore consider myself as one of such fortunate residents of Vrindavan if I am given the chance to take birth in this land in any future of my life. Next, my dear Lord, I am not therefore interested in either material opulences or for liberation. I am most humbly praying at your lotus feet that you can give me any sort of birth within this Vrindavan forest, so that I may be able to be favored by the dust of the feet of some of the devotees of this Vrindavan area. Even if I am given the chance of growing just like full grass in this land of Vrindavan, that will be a glorious birth for me. Even if I am not so much fortunate to take birth within the forest of Vrindavan, I may be allowed to take my birth outside the area of Vrindavan, so that when the devotees will go out, they will traverse on me, and that will be a good fortune for me. I am aspiring such birth to be smeared by the dust or the foot of the devotees, because here I can see that everyone is simply in full Krishna consciousness, and they do not know anything except Mukunda. Although the whole Vedas are searching after the lotus feet of Krishna, it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that the purpose of Vedic knowledge is to find out Krishna. Similarly, it is said in the Brahma Sanghita that it is very difficult to find out Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by systematic reading of the Vedic literature, but is very easily available through the mercy of a pure devotee. The pure devotees of Vrindavan are fortunate enough, because they can always see Mukunda Krishna all the time. This word used, Mukunda, can be understood in two ways. Muk means liberation. So Lord Krishna can give liberation and therefore transcendental bliss. Another import of the word Mukunda is that whose smiling of the face is just like Kunda flower. Kunda flower is very beautiful and it appears just like smiling. Similarly, Krishna's face, especially smiling face, is compared with the Kunda flower. Mukha means face and Kunda, Mukunda. Difference between the pure devotee from Vrindavan and other places is that president from Vrindavan have no other desire except to be associated with Krishna, and Krishna being very kind to his devotees, he fulfills the desire of the devotees, and the devotees in Vrindavan, they always want Krishna's association, and the Lord is also prepared to give them such association. Another feature of the devotees of Vrindavan is that they are a spontaneous lover. They do not follow much about the regulative principles because they do not require to follow very strictly the regulative principle, because naturally they have already developed a transcendental love for Krishna. Regulative principles are required for such persons who have not achieved such position of spontaneous love. Brahma is also devotee of the Lord, but he is ordinary devotee under regulative principle. So he is prayer to Krishna to give him chance to take birth in Vrindavan is that he wanted to be elevated on the platform of spontaneous love. Lord Brahma continued to say, "My Lord, sometimes I am puzzled as to how your Lordship will be able to repay my gratitude to the devotional service of these residents of Vrindavan. Although I know that you are the supreme source of all benediction, still I am puzzled how you shall be able to repay all the debts that you are receiving from these residents of Vrindavan. When I think that you are so kind, you are so magnanimous, that even Putana, who came to cheat you as mother by dressing herself as very affectionate mother, and still you are so kind that you gave her liberation and just the post of a mother, and not only to her, because other demons who were connected with her, just like Aghasura and Vakasura, belonging to the same family, they were also favored by achieving you. Under the circumstances, I am puzzled that these residents of Vrindavan, who have given you everything, their body, their mind, their job, their home, their position, everything has been utilized for your purpose. So how you will be able to repay their debt, because you have already given yourself to Putana. Under the circumstances, I surmise that to the residents of Brindama, you shall remain aware of data without being able to repay their loving self. My Lord, I can understand that the super excellence selfies of the residents of Brindama due to their spontaneously engaging all natural instincts into your loving service. It is said that attachment for material object and home are different illusions, and such illusions make a living entity condition in the material world. But it is only possible to such persons who are not Krishna conscious. But in the case of the residents of Vrindavan, such obstructive principles as attachment to home, heart, cannot be applied to these residents of Vrindavan, because their attachment has been converted unto you, and their home has been converted into temple, because you are always there, and their illusion is also not impediment, because they have forgotten everything for your sake. For a Krishna conscious person, therefore, there is no such thing as impediment of attachment for heart and home or illusion. I can understand also that your appearance as a small cowherd's boy and child of these cowherd's men is not at all material activity. You are so much of life by their affection that you are present here to enthuse them with more and loving service by your transcendental presence. In Vrindavan, there is no such distinction between material and spiritual, because everything is dedicated to your loving service. Dear Lord, your Vrindavan pastime is simply to enthuse your devotees. Otherwise, if somebody takes Vrindavan pastimes as something material, they will miss that. I think you are liquidating your indebted. Krishna Tape number 17. Krishna Tape number 17. July 18, 1969. Lord Krishna, people may think of you as having a material body, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Only the rascals and less intelligent class of men derive a few as ordinary men. But you are always transcendental. It is practically a cheating for the non-devotees that they consider you as one of the material creation. Actually, you are simply to increase the volume of devotion and transcendental bliss of your devotees. And for that purpose, you have assumed this body exactly resembling just like ordinary cowherd's boy. My dear Lord, I may say that people who advertise themselves that they have already realized God, or by such realization they have themselves become God, I have nothing to say about them. But so far I am concerned, I can admit frankly that for me it is not possible to realize you either by my body, mind, or speeches. In other words, what I can speak about you, or what I can realize you by my senses, I cannot even think of you perfectly, even by my mind, which is the master of senses. Your qualities, your activities, your body, all are inconceivable by any person within this material world. Therefore, I have already explained above that only by your mercy only one can understand to some extent what you are. But you are not. Actually, you are the supreme Lord of all creations, although I sometimes falsely think that I am the master of this universe. I may be a master of this universe, but there are innumerable universes, and there are innumerable Brahmas also, as the thread of all such universes. But actually, you are the master of all of them. As a super soul in everyone's heart, you know everything, and please therefore accept me as your surrendered servant, and I wish that you may now excuse me of my great fault that I disturb you in your best times with your friends and calves. Now, if you kindly ask me, I can immediately leave this place so that you can enjoy your friends and calves without my presence. My Lord Krishna, your very name suggests that you are all attractive. The attractiveness of the sun and the moon are all due to you. To the attractiveness of the sun, you are beautifying the very existence of the Jodu dynasty. To the attractiveness of the moon, you are enhancing the potency to land of the demigods, of the Brahmins, of the cows, and of the oceans. Account of your supreme attractions, demons like Kansa and others are being annihilated. Therefore, it is my deliberate conclusion that you are the only worshipable deity within the creation. Therefore, accept my humble obeisances until the annihilation of this material world. Or I may say, till the sunshine is existent within this material world, you may kindly accept my humble obeisances. In this year, Brahma, the master of this universe, after offering humble and respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and circumambulating him three times, he was just preparing himself to return to his place known as Brahmaloka, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead also, by his gesture, gave him permission to return back. As soon as Brahma left his flesh, Lord Sri Krishna immediately, exactly in his previous state of situation, appeared on the bank of Jamuna and met his friends as before. Krishna left his friend on the bank of the Jamuna while engaged in lunch, and although he returned exactly after 1 year, the cow herd boy thought him that he returned within a second. That is the way of different activities of Krishna's different energies, as it is stated in a Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna himself residing in everyone's heart gives them remembrance or prevents them forgetting everything. So his friends also being controlled in such a way, they could not understand that for continually 1 year they were absent from that place, and they were under the spell of Brahma's illusion. Clearly, the entire group of living entities are beings controlled by the supreme energy of the Lord, and sometimes they are remembering and sometimes they are forgetting their constitutional position. When Krishna appeared before his cowherd friends, they thought that Krishna has returned back without delaying even a minute. So they began to laugh, thinking that Krishna was not willing to leave their company in lunchtime. As such, they were very much jubilant and invited him, "My dear friend Krishna, you have come back so quickly. All right, we have not as yet begun our lunch even by one morsel of food. So please come and join us and let us eat together." Krishna also accepted their invitation and, smiling himself, began to enjoy the lunchtime companion of his friend. By eating together, Krishna was smiling, thinking that these boys are thinking that I have come back very quickly within a second, but they did not know that for the last 1 year I was replying the mystic activities of Lord Brahma. Therefore, after finishing their lunch, Krishna, along with his friends and calves, left that place and began to return to their Braja Bhumi homes. And while passing, they enjoyed seeing the dead carcass of the body of Aghasu, seemed like a gigantic snake. Thus they returned back home. While Krishna returned home in the Braja Bhumi, was seen by all the inhabitants of Vrindavan as wearing the peacock feather on his helmet, which was decorated with forest flowers. And Krishna was also garlanded by those flowers and painted with different kinds of pinals and collars collected from the caves of Govardhan. A hill, Govardhan hill, is always famous for supplying natural red oxides, and Krishna and his friends painted their body with such minerals from the Govardhan hill. Each of them had a bugle made of buffalo horn and a stick and a flute also. They were calling their respective cups by their particular names. In this way, all of them enter into the village of Braja Bhumi. The friends were so much proud of Krishna's wonderful activities that while entering into the village, all of them were singing the boys composed very nice songs describing how the boys are saved from the imminent danger of being swallowed by the big snake, and how the snake was killed. Some of them were describing Krishna's activities as he was the son of Nanda Maharaj, and some of them were describing Krishna's activities as Krishna was the son of Jasoda. Otherwise, they were singing that the son of Jasoda, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is so wonderful that he saved us from the clutches of the big snake, and the big snake was killed by him. There was an inquiry from Maharaj Parikshit to Sukhdev Goswami as to how the inhabitants of Vrindavan are of a sudden developed so much love for Krishna, although Krishna was not directly member of any family. Still, during the absence of the original cowherd boy, when Krishna assumed as all those cowherd boys, how their parents become so much affectionate to him, even more than their own sons. Similarly, the cows also, how they become so much affectionate to the calves, more than their own calves originally. This inquiry was answered by Sukhdev Goswami as follows. Sukhdev Goswami replied to Maharaj Parikshit that every living entity is actually affectionate to his own self. Outward paraphernalia, just like home, family, friends, country, nation, society, or wealth, opulence, reputation, all these things are secondarily pleasing to the living entity, because such thing gives pleasure to the self. Actually, one is attached to his own self, and anything which gives pleasure to the self becomes secondarily pleasing. For this reason only, one is more or less self-centered or affectionate to his body and self more than his friendly relatives like wife, children, and friends. If there is some immediate danger to somebody's own person, first of all, he takes care of himself and then for others. That is natural. That means he loves more than anything else his own self. After one's own self, the next important object of affection is one's material body. Person who has no information of the spirit soul is too much affectionate to his material body, so much so that even in old age he wants to preserve the body by so many artificial ways, thinking that his old and broken body may be saved. Conclusion is that everyone is working so hard day and night just to give pleasure to his own self, either under the bodily concept of life or spiritually concept of life. Conclusion is that we are attached to the material position because they give pleasure to the senses or to the body. We are attached to the body because I, the spirit soul, is within this body. Similarly, response that the spirit soul is also so pleasing to us because it is part and parcel of Krishna. The ultimately, Krishna is pleasing all attractive. This is conclusion. He is the super soul of everything. And in order to give us this information, Krishna descends and gives us information that the all attractive center is He Himself. Without being expansion of Krishna, nothing can be attractive to us. In this cosmic manifestation, whatever there is attractive, it is due to Krishna. Krishna is therefore reservoir of all pleasure. The active principle of everything is Krishna, and a highly elevated transcendentalist see everything in connection with Krishna. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated that Mahabhagavat are the highly advanced devotee, first class devotee, although he sees everything like immovable trees and movable living entities. He is the active principle, Krishna. Therefore, without Krishna, he sees nothing within this cosmic manifestation. Conclusion is therefore that a fortunate person who has taken shelter of Krishna as everything, for him, liberation is already there. He is no more in the material world. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, that anyone who is engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, he is already in the Brahma Bhuta or spiritual platform. Krishna, the very name, suggests piety and celebration. Anyone who takes shelter the lotus feet of Krishna as the boat for crossing over the ocean of nirvana, for them, this vast expansion of material manifestation becomes just like a foothold on the ground. Krishna is the center of our great souls. Krishna is the center of this material world. And anyone who is on that set form of Krishna consciousness, for him, Vaikuntha, or the spiritual world, is not far away. He does not live anymore within the material world, which is full of dangers step by step. In this way, Krishna consciousness was fully explained by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, quoting the statement and prayers of Lord Brahma. Next time, anyone who hears and recites this description of Lord Krishna's pastime with his cowherd boys and eating with them on the bank of Jamuna, and Lord Brahma's prayers unto him, they are all transcendental subject matter. Anyone who hears and chants surely gets all the desires fulfilled in the spiritual realization of self. Krishna, in his childhood appearance along with Baladev, used to play like that in Vrindavan. Plus, N.C. Bhaktivedanta summary study, but part of the 14th chapter, depicting the prayers offered by Lord Brahma.